two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gun Range Fire, in-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
There's an update on the Gun Range Fire. Two adults have been identified for starting it, allegedly. It raced out of control just a couple of weeks ago, about a week and a half ago, in the hills above Bountiful. You remember seeing the smoke, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah. They're accused of building a campfire and then not properly extinguishing it.
Oh, Debbie, I am so lucky. I am so darn lucky over the years, as many fires as I've started, that I haven't gotten bitten. Because I haven't been great. I'm not even sure I've been good about putting out my campfires. So when
I
see this. Well, yeah, the older I get.
Yeah.
But let me tell you how many fires I started as a youth and as a scout. We would create these bonfires with no protection, with no water nearby.
No arrests have been made so far in the case, and no one has officially been charged. So I want to make that clear that no one has been given a citation either. Investigation continues, but we do know that two adults now been identified. We're not being told their age or their gender. We don't know if they're adults because they're 18 years old, or we don't know if they're 65 years old. But they could face charges of some sort of negligence, resulting in not, you know, the allegation that they didn't stamp out the campfire properly. And Dave, I got to be honest, I don't even know that I know how to put out a fire. So I make sure that it's not going to, you know, I don't know, spark up the minute I walk away, pack up the family and go home.
Exactly. When I went camping just a month ago, we had the camp host come out and say, just so you know, this is what a extinguished fire looks like. You put your hands on the coals for 5 seconds in several places. That's when you know it's extinguished. I never did that.
That's a great expert tip.
I had no idea, but that would do it because you're not going to roll the dice. You're not going to think, I don't know, I think that's good enough, and throw your hands on the coals and then burn your hand off.
Let's talk about this amazing twist in this case. Talking about the fire above Bountiful, it was the gun range fire. It burned hundreds of acres just about a week and a half ago. We could all see it here in the valley, and it raced out of control, and three homes were lost, several acres burned. Families were saving families. Neighbors were helping neighbors to get out. I mean, it was crazy. And then in a show of amazing compassion, we've got this one family who lost everything. Imagine, put yourself in their shoes. Your home is gone. You lose everything. And yet, you go on the news and you say, I have no ill feelings toward the people who are accused of starting this fire. And in fact, let's listen to what these individuals, these homeowners are saying.
Again, I don't have any venom and vengeance in me right now. And it's not going to benefit me or them to chew on them or whatever. I am sure that these people realize just how serious this has become.
That's inspiring. I mean, really, that is inspiring. I hope I can be that person. That is like a life goal perspective. Because when you lose everything, and we saw this video, Deb, watching them with a shovel, shoveling through the ashes, trying to find and see if there was anything left over, anything that survived. And to be able to say, no ill will, no hard feelings, I know you feel bad about it, That's incredible.
You want to be more like Daniel Fisher. And then not only did Daniel say that about the people who are accused of starting that fire, but the hill is bountiful, and then the hills above bountiful, and then, you know, burned down his house and two other homes. Here's his daughter.
We want to extend some grace to them. You know, we're thinking about their parents, their families. We do not want their lives destroyed over this. There is enough destruction that has happened.
Thinking of their parents, maybe that's a little bit of a clue that maybe these are younger kids. And I remember when I was a young kid, as many times as I built fires, Debbie, I would throw dirt on it and think, oh, that's out. Well, those coals could still be red hot. And I can't imagine, like, how do you do that? How do you lose everything and show that kind of compassion?
On the Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line at 57500, one of our listeners says that exact thing. There's no way that this person said they would. There's no way they'd forgive someone who caused their home to be destroyed. And people need to be held responsible for irresponsible behavior. What if it was an innocent mistake? How long do you hold that over their heads? And what charges do they face? They wiped out three homes. They destroyed the community, the neighborhood. They've destroyed hundreds of acres. And perhaps there's no intention of doing anything wrong. They just walked away from a fire and thought it was out.
And how do you make that right? Are you going to pay off their house? All of a sudden, you're bankrupt for the rest of your life. You'll never be able to rebuild three homes that were burned down. You just wouldn't be able to. So do you just allow it? Do you just say, hey, I know you didn't mean it? Should you be held responsible? Debbie, I'm really struggling with this because I don't know what the right answer is. It does feel like the, oh, don't worry about it, although is admirable, is that the right move? Or do people need to know they have consequences for making dumb decisions?
Quite often we need to turn to our listeners because they've got excellent insight on this. And again, turning to the Utah Community Credit Union text line, this listener says they need to at least be fined. And I would agree with that. There needs to be a citation issued and a fine. And I don't know if that what that fine amount is. I'm sure there's some basic fine matrix that the courts use.
Yeah.
They need to at least be fined. But let's say they are juveniles. They're 18 years old, 19 years old, starting out in life. How in the world do they come up with the kind of money to make it right for these families?
Yeah, I'm not sure you can.
How many years do they need to live with that over their heads, particularly if it was an accident?
Well,
now, if they're just torching the land.
Right.
That's a far different story than we have arson. But I'm looking forward to our next segment where we're going to get to, you know, hopefully get more answers out of the fire officials there to find out exactly what they know about this.
Well, and Debbie, I think one of our texters brings up a good point. What if someone had died? How would we feel?
Excellent. Excellent points. So much more to talk about with this story. You know, in rare circumstances, will the government really ever go after people who start fires, even if they destroy property? So let's get a live interview next with fire officials to find out, are they going to fine these people? Are they going to charge these people? We're going to get him on the line during the break.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning. Then go in-depth about the news with Dave and Debbie.
I put your Social Security number on a billboard.
It would change nothing.
News at 5. Talk of 9 on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
The Gun Range Fire, in-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Two adults potentially facing charges for the allegations they're facing, part of starting the gun range fire in Bountiful after leaving a campfire.
Yeah, this is a sad story, of course. with the families that lost their homes, lost their memories. But the fact that they have shown such great compassion to forgive someone for their mistake, that is incredible.
We've got Jason Curry on the line. He's with the Utah Division of Forestry. And Dave brings up an excellent point. Jason, good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
It's amazing that these families or the family members have shown such compassion in light of the fact that their house burned down after the fire was started. But there's a lot of people who are wondering, have the individuals who are accused of starting the fire, have they been cited yet or charged?
So they are going to be cited this week sometime, is my understanding. And this is not from our agency, but from the U.S. Forest Service where the fire actually occurred. So that's my understanding, is that they will be cited sometime this week. I believe those charges are still being looked at as to exactly what they want to do on those.
Now, of course, you can't bring back the homes. You can't bring back the memories. But what is the thinking behind citing someone for an accident? How big is that fine? Is this a debilitating fine? Is this something that they're going to carry around for years?
I'm not sure what the actual fine is for abandoning a campfire or allowing a campfire to spread to wildlands. Again, I'm not sure exactly what the citation is. The citation really is just like we would give anybody a citation, or the Forest Service would give anybody a citation that was in the wildland and abandoned a campfire or allowed a campfire to spread to wildlands. So it's pretty common that people do receive those citations. We take it very seriously when people abandon or leave behind a fire.
You know, so often we name fires, or the authorities name fires. In this case, it's the gun range fire. And then within a week or two, we have, you know, four or five other fires, and we forget which one is the gun range fire. And that, if you're just joining us, it's the one that burned about 10, 11 days ago above Bountiful. It took out three homes and destroyed hundreds of acres. Jason Curry on the line with the Utah Division of Forestry. We're talking about the citations that we're now learning. These two individuals will probably be issued sometime this week. Do you foresee that the taxpayers are going to be able to recoup the costs of fighting the fire, though? And I know so rarely does the government go after people to recoup the costs, but in this case, will you do it since you've identified two people?
You know, those decisions are made down the road after the criminal portion is adjudicated. Once that part is completed, then we move on to the civil part.
There's many people that would feel that a citation would be essentially a slap on the wrist. How seriously should we prosecute or go after people that have caused damage?
Well, yeah, the citation, in light of the magnitude of the fire, is fairly minor. So that's why once the case is adjudicated, you know, on the criminal side, then the state and the Forest Service, who both share some costs in the fire, that's when we'll look at the case, just like we look at every case, to determine what we want to do in terms of pursuing recovery. We always attempt to recover costs. Oftentimes, we're not going to be able to get the full cost, but in cases like these, we may get a portion of the costs. But again, those decisions are down the road still.
Jason Curry on the line with us live. He's with the Utah Division of Forestry. We're talking about the gun range fire that took out three homes just a couple of days ago in the Bountiful area. And it was a campfire that wasn't fully extinguished. And Jason, do you have any idea at all? What does not fully extinguished mean? Or did they think the fire was out and then they walked away? I mean, how did that part of the case unfold?
Well, so we know that any time a wildfire originates from a campfire, we know that it wasn't properly extinguished, and that's pretty straightforward. The details of what efforts were made and what types of things could have been done or were done or weren't done are still part of the investigation.
So what can I do? Because I don't want to be that one gal.
You want to make sure you're...
Go ahead.
You have to keep that in mind. I would say that that's probably the most important thing. Keep in mind that you're responsible for your actions. And as you enjoy a campfire in the outdoors, like I do sometimes with my family, before I leave that campfire, I think of the worst possible case scenarios, and that is that it could possibly rekindle and come out of there. So I do everything I can to ensure that doesn't happen. That includes stirring in water, making sure that it goes all the way into all of the coals and that there's no heat whatsoever left. And if you do that, you're pretty safe. There's really not much chance that if it's a kind of a wet, muddy mess in that fire pit, you're probably pretty confident walking away from it, no matter what happens with wind or other weather events.
Yeah, wet, muddy mess. That's a good litmus test. Give us an idea. Where can we start fires?
So right now in the state of Utah, there are some fire restrictions. Right here in northern Utah, as far as campfires go, the only location that's opted to go into campfire restrictions is in Tooele County. So you still are allowed in Tooele County to have campfires, but only in designated fire areas. For the rest of northern Utah, there aren't any statewide or agency-wide fire restrictions for campfires. So if you want to go on the mountains, if you want to go on the hillside, for example, this fire that was started was not unlawful to start. It wasn't a very good place for it, but right now you're able to go and put a ring of rocks around your fire pit and enjoy a fire, you know, anywhere on public lands or private lands where you're normally able to do that. So fire restrictions are always being looked at as a possibility. There are several in southern Utah from Beaver County downward in various locations. So you can check our website, utahfireinfo.gov, to see more of where those restrictions are and what the exact restrictions are.
Jason Curry from the Utah Division of Forestry, thank you so much for jumping on the line live with us today to talk about not only fire restrictions across the state, but also how to properly extinguish a campfire, Dave, I got to tell you, my worst experience ever extinguishing a campfire happened when I was about 18 years old. And, you know, grew up in Arizona where everything is tinder dry all the time, was on a retreat with a bunch of other 18-year-old really good friends of mine. And we decided to extinguish a campfire and we just poured water on it and it singed my friend's hands.
Oh, because of the steam, the immediate steam.
Oh, my goodness. And fortunately, eventually we were able to laugh about it. But in the moment, and we were all alone with this group of 18-year-olds, we did not know what to do other than to wrap her hands, and it actually made it worse because she had singed hands with gauze.
Oh, and now it's sticking to the...
That's why I didn't grow up to be a doctor.
Oh. Yeah, I look at this, and I'm so grateful that I never got bitten by this because I did some super dumb things with fireworks. Shooting fireworks, I caught a field on fire that fortunately me and my four friends were able to put out. This was a part of my life, building fires, scouting, and I didn't take great precautions. Now, I took some, right? I wouldn't just leave a raging fire alone, but I can't tell you how many times I went to bed with still some warm coals. That happens.
So you were camping.
Yes.
Turned around, walked, and zipped up the tent or the camper and thought, this will just take care of itself overnight. Oh. Yeah.
Well, and part of this is we didn't always have access to a lot of water. And that's the best way to do it, is to create this muddy mess, right? But you don't always have access to a lot of water to pour on the campfire.
My question is, does this change our way of thinking? Does this make a difference now that we've heard this story? We know these two individuals just started this campfire. We don't know all the circumstances around it. We don't know why they walked away from it. Was it just smoldering when they walked away? Was there still a flame going? That information will start to come out in the days ahead as they face citation and perhaps charges for this. But does it change our behavior?
Talking about it, I think, is the best chance. Because, again, how are you going to recoup the cost for that? They try, the Forest Service tries, but how do you recoup the cost for the thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars that it costs to fight these things? So it's never going to work.
We want to remind you that on September 30th, we got an important project that's in the works here at KSL News Radio. Dr. Matt Woolley will join KSL in a special event open to the public, where he's going to address teen anxiety, depression, and screen time.
Yeah, to find out more, make sure you text TEEN to 57500. That's TEEN to 57500.
Breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services. KSL FM Midvale. KSL Salt Lake City. KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.